So let me ask you a question this morning, and it's kind of a tough one. It's this: have you ever been in a place in your life where, you know, you're just kind of going along and all of a sudden you just kind of don't really feel God's love? Have you ever been in a place like that? And sometimes it's, we go through a difficult circumstance. Sometimes there's something, there's just the noise and the waves like you were singing about are just kind of, you know, rocking the boat around us. And sometimes we don't feel, it's hard to feel God's love. Maybe you've been in a place like that. Maybe another way to say it in another direction is, have you maybe ever been in a place where you kind of have gone through something and maybe gotten into something in some kind of way and you just kind of feel like God's love, like you don't deserve it in some kind of way? Now, the thing I know about this is when I was younger, I remember singing this song that maybe you grew up singing. If you grew up in church, maybe your parents or somebody sang it to you, and it's this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I remember singing this song, like, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I remember thinking, like, as a little kid, like, I knew that in a little way, like, God loves me like a friend would love me, but I didn't realize the magnitude. But I remember singing this, and over time, God started grabbing a hold of my heart. But it's one of those things that sometimes we can know this reality that Jesus loves us, and then we go through something difficult. And it's almost like this dividing line where we knew that was the case then, but maybe something happens, a blip in our story, and all of a sudden we think, well, maybe what was true back then isn't true for me now. Maybe I'm past that point where Jesus's love can cover me. Now, what I want to do today is I want to talk with you about, what do you do? How do you manage? What do you do when, and really how God responds, how Jesus responds when you feel like you're maybe a little bit further away from him than you once were? And we're in the third week of our series called Campfires. We got the campfire going and everything, but we've been going through this series, and it's really a theme to help us talk about some bigger ideas in the scripture. Because there's so many moments in the Bible when God intersected people's lives around campfires. And so we've been going through some of these stories, these conversations, these powerful moments that people have with God. And really talking about how God met with people around campfires. And so today, we're going to look at this story in the New Testament. We've been in the Old Testament for a little bit. In the New Testament, that really might completely change the way you see God's love in those times. In fact, it's a story that happens, this campfire moment in the New Testament with one of Jesus' disciples, Peter. And it happens right after Jesus has been crucified, he's been raised from the grave, and then we get to John chapter 21 and we get this scene. But before we go into that, I want to tell you a little bit more about Peter and his story, because Peter's an interesting dude. Peter was a fisherman, and when you think about fishermen, I don't want you to think about like these plastic kind of coloring books that have Jesus and the disciples. Like, think more like Deadliest Catch. Like, this is Peter, like probably scars on his hands, tattered and all sorts of things. And this is, he was a man's man, Peter. And the thing you need to know is that typically in Bible times, you would kind of grow up doing the family trade. And so Peter was a fisherman. And so you would imagine that all of his parents and everybody before him were fishermen, kind of like everybody in my family is a Tennessee fan. Everybody is, because everybody's been before them. We don't know any better. It's what we do. And so some of you are like, amen. Some of you are like, oh, poor thing, right? It's getting better. Peter was a fisherman. It's all he knew. It was kind of what he's trained to do and what he knew well, and it was his life. And so 3 years before this scene that we're going to look at, there's this scene where Peter is actually fishing out on a lake, and it's during the day, and he'd been fishing all day. And he comes back, and you would just imagine, like, man, what'd you catch? He comes back with his head down and his tail between his legs, and he realizes that he's been out all day with his effort, with all of his knowledge, and he has caught nothing. Now, just imagine if you were Peter's wife, like, come on, like, what are you doing? You got to bring home the bacon or the seafood, whatever it is, right? And it's one of those things where he's casting the net, nothing happened. And there's this guy who comes up to him, this carpenter named Jesus, who had the audacity to tell a fisherman who's been doing it his whole life. He comes up to Peter and he says, hey, maybe go back out there and cast the net just a little bit further this time. I don't know if I was Peter, if I would have listened to that. I would be like, what do you know about fishing? But something in him said, I need to do it. And so he did. He cast the net in the sea, caught nothing before. And this time he pulls up the net, and the net is so full that they were having trouble even getting it on the boat. It was so filled with fish where Jesus told them to go that they're pulling this up, and the net began to rip. And so they got more guys together and they're pulling this net up and the boat began to sink. And so you just get this picture. Not only is that an awesome day, you know, in his career, but you just imagine this moment where they're looking at the fish and then they turn to Jesus. And there's something in them that says, whoa, 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 who are you? Who are you? And Peter has this moment where he realized he was having an encounter with the Lord. And he looked at Jesus and he says something that we often say when we're face to face with God. He says this, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I mean, instead of like, oh, cool, Jesus, do that again. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. When I look at, like, when I see who you are, like I'm realizing I'm in the presence of God. And when I look at my life and look at where I've been and what I've done and all these things, like, you could never do a work in somebody's life like me. I'm too far. And so Peter, he thought that God's love and power could only work in perfect people. He thought that, like, if somebody's got a blip on the radar screen in their story, like, they're done. Like, they're useless to God. And so he had this kind of view of God's love that was all about performance. And so Jesus looks at him and he says something really, really crazy. He says to Peter, come follow me. Come follow me. But not only that, not only this invitation to follow Jesus, but he says, and I want you to spend the rest of your life coming with me to fish for people. So he gives us an incredible, like, you can be a part of what I'm doing and I'm calling you to join me in this. And so Peter just always assumed, like we often do, that God's love was something that he had to earn, something that he had to deserve or to merit. And he thought that God loving him and working in his life was just all about what he could do for God. Or what he had done in the past. So kind of we're in one or two camps when we make God all about performance. On the one side, we cancel ourselves out. We look at our past and our story and we say, oh, well, this is who I am. We put our resume before God and we say, well, you see this and you see this and you see this. And, you know, I guess you can't love me in this way. Like, we cancel ourselves out. In fact, oftentimes, what oftentimes happens in a church like The Fountain that's reaching a lot of people who haven't been in church, people will come up to me as a pastor and they'll often start with the worst thing that's ever happened to them. Like, you know, I want you to know this is what's happened in my life. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, like that's great. I'm glad you're here because this is the thing. This is the way God's love works. It doesn't cancel you out. On the other hand, some of us, we've been in church a long time and we are trying to follow Jesus, but oftentimes we can still make that about performance. Like, I've got to read my Bible a certain amount of times and pray certain times a day and come to church every Sunday. And if I don't, God's going to be mad at me and maybe he won't love me. And so we do make it about performance, just like Peter so many times in our life. And so maybe you've thought that before, like, God, before I come follow you, I've got to get my life cleaned up. But that's not what Jesus tells Peter, is it? He just simply says, come follow me just as you are. And through that relationship, I'll clean up your life. I'll transform you, but I'm going to send you out to be the person I've created you to be. And so Peter went and he fell in love with Jesus. And he went through all these crazy things, became one of Jesus's most faithful disciples. In fact, in Matthew 16, there's a story where Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter was the first one to declare out of all the disciples that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns back to him and says, and I tell you, you're Peter. You're a rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And so he's speaking all these things. Peter's one of the ones that saw Jesus's glory on the mountain of Transfiguration. Peter's the one who had the audacity when Jesus is walking on the water to jump out upon the waters and to try to walk to Jesus. He was so in love with Jesus. And you would think with everything in his story, like he would be the one that would just carry on and would stay strong with his relationship forever. But we fast forward to John 21 and something's changed. See, Jesus has already died on the cross. He's been raised from the grave, but there's some unfinished business with Peter. Because as we know, if you know the story, what happened 3 days before, Jesus had told him, like, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's like, no, Lord, I would never, ever, ever, ever do that. Pinky promise, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my, all that stuff. I'll never do that. Sure enough, Peter denied him not once, not twice, but 3 times. People came to him while Jesus is going up to be crucified. They say, wait a minute, aren't you that guy that was with Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers? And he's like, oh, no, you don't understand. I don't even know the guy. I'm not a follower. I'm not even a fan. And he denied him 3 times. And in that moment, he essentially turned his back on God. And so the Gospel of John, chapter 21, you can turn there, records this moment where Peter bumps back into Jesus after walking away from him. And we're going to see, pay close attention to where Jesus went after he walked away. Check out what he was doing. Here's what it says, verse 3, chapter 21. It says this. He said this, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." This is kind of a funny thing because it's like, he's just experienced like this incredible thing where Jesus has been raised from the grave. He'd appeared to his disciples, and all Peter can say is, "I get out of here. I got to go fishing." Now, it's one of those things where we can make it about fishing and stuff like that, but it's bigger than that. Because what's really happening here is that Peter was essentially, he wasn't just trying to get away. He essentially went back to the life he was living before Jesus. I mean, I put all my hope in Jesus, and I guess Jesus is done with me. And so I guess I'm going to just go back to those same dead wells and empty places that made me happy for a little bit, but never really satisfied. And so he went back to fishing. And it's one of those things where we look at this and there's nothing wrong with fishing, but come on, like you just experienced all this and then you leave the scene and go fishing. And let's be honest, how many of us, I think we've all been in those moments in our lives when we feel like we've maybe let God down. We maybe feel like we've failed God or denied him or walked away from him, or something in our story kind of says, you know what? I just don't deserve your love, God, no matter where we are with that. And just like Peter, one of the things we oftentimes do is we decide to kind of hang up this sign, this proverbial sign that says, "Gone fishing, gone fishing." Like I'm out, I'm gone fishing, and we kind of decide, and we can decide in those moments to check out from God. And Peter, he was kind of trying to get it off his mind, but he's also trying to escape Jesus, trying to escape the love of God. And again, because he didn't feel like he deserved it. Jesus might be saying to him, "Hello, don't you remember when I first called you?" But Peter felt like, "I've messed up, like it's performance." And so, you know, the thing is that there's so many people today in our spheres of influence. There's so many people that you know, not only people in here, but there's so many people out there in our spheres of influence who know about God's love. They know Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They know that up here in their head. There's so many people who come to church on Easter and Christmas and one other Sunday, whatever, or beyond. But they know about the resurrection. They know about Easter. They know about the message. But there's something in their life that says, that's not anything, that has nothing to do with me. And maybe it's because we make it about performance and we think, well, that story is good for people like you, but I'm the black sheep in this. For all the white sheep in the church, great. But what does God's grace have to do with me? And what does the resurrection have to do with somebody like me? And so Peter went to his old life, just like we often do. We went back to those empty wells. We go back to those old stomping grounds, those old relationships, those old habits. And here's what happened. Here's what it says, continued in verse 3. It says this. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now we're going to go a little faster than this, but this is interesting because there, he goes back to his old life. He goes back to those same places. And what happens? The nets are empty. And this is bigger than just like, I'm not catching any fish. I think it's something about really Peter's life. He realized that as he went back to those places, he still felt empty and useless to God. And it kind of reminds me of this illustration of just fishing lures. Oftentimes, here's what we do in our lives. Is oftentimes, you know, we kind of following God and it kind of, sometimes it's like a fish chasing this lure in the water. Think about it. So we often chase after these things in our life, right? These like dead places, these empty wells. We go after these things that are shiny and fish. You know, I don't know what it is about fish. Like, I haven't figured them out. Like there's plenty of worms in the sea, right? But they see this, like they see this shiny lure and something in them says, "Woo, I gotta go get this," right? Like I'm hungry. I've gotta bite this thing, right? And it's like, this kind of represents like these things in our life that it's like, just if I could just have this, like if I could just get to this place in my career, if I could just get this house, if I could get new flooring, I could get new, whatever it is, I could get my kids into the school, then I'll be happy and then I'll be satisfied. And so what do? We just like these fish that's shiny and hopeful and promises life for a moment, and we bite down and sink our life into something other than Jesus. And sometimes it's not bad things. When we trust in those things, oftentimes there's a hook that's hidden at the bottom. And it's not that those things are bad necessarily, but it's one of those things where when we sink our teeth into something other than Jesus, those very things can chain us down, can hook us, and can reel us away from the life God wants to give us, because we're made to be in God, to live in God, and to follow him forever. And so we think about this and this story. I want you to check out how Jesus responds to Peter. Because this is a picture of how God responds to us when we feel like we are so unworthy of God's love. Like we're empty without him, but we feel like God can never use us again. Here's how the story goes. Verse 4, it says this. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And it's kind of, he's not joking with them. He's kind of saying, look, you've gone back to those empty reels. You've gone back to those places. Are you happy? They're kind of looking at themselves and they answer, no, they answered. He said to them, throw your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Bells were going off. They're like, wait a minute, we've seen this movie before. Verse 7, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him. For he had taken it off. He put his iPhone, took his iPhone out of the pocket, and he jumped into the water. No, it doesn't say the iPhone. That's a good thing. Take your phone out of your pocket when you get in the water. Anyway, all right, beyond that, verse 8, it says, the other disciple followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire, burning coals there with fish on it. And some bread. In other words, Jesus had set a campfire up in the middle of Peter's place. And it says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Kind of reminds them of the Last Supper, probably. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The third time Jesus appeared to anybody after the resurrection. Notice who he went to. He went exactly to the person who was doubting God's love for him. And it was one of those things, where you look at this and it's a great story about what God does in our lives. Because when Peter felt like he didn't deserve Jesus, he didn't deserve his love, Jesus is the one who was calling out to him, wanting to meet him. And Jesus doesn't just, I love this in our lives. Jesus doesn't just, you know, stand on this pier from far away and say, you know, if you want to come and get me, make sure you get your life cleaned up first. He doesn't say, just, you know, do things better and I hope you feel really, really sorry. Sit in time out for a while and then come. And he doesn't say that. He comes and he just simply is there. And it's one of those things where even today, Jesus is always the one who takes the first step toward us, always wanting to love us back to him. And this is the amazing thing about our God, because no matter how far away we've run or we think we've gone, that all we have to do sometimes is just turn around and realize that Jesus is standing there calling us back with his arms wide open, inviting us to come back home. And it's interesting because we often run to certain places thinking that we're escaping, getting away from God's love, getting away from time with our Father. But it's oftentimes in those places, in those very places we're running to, those dead places that we often try to find to be satisfied, oftentimes Jesus is the one who's standing there meeting us in that place, wanting to call us back. And so a thing we know about this is it doesn't matter how far we go. Jesus's love can always reach us. And it's all, another thing is it doesn't matter how far we fall, that Jesus's grace can continue to cover us and can bring us back. Did you notice the number of fish? 153 fish. Now, if we were reading Revelation, some of you might be like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean like he's coming back tomorrow or the next, you know? I don't think this is symbolic here. I think it's simply telling us they got a whole lot of fish. 1, 2, 3, 100, 150, 151. You know, think about this. Huge fish. They're pulling it out. And it's so interesting because Peter's at his lowest moment, feeling like God doesn't even care about him. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, Jesus just opens up this, pours out this blessing in his life. And it's almost like Jesus is saying to Peter, do you see this net, Peter? I want to do the very same thing in your life again. I want to pour into you again. I want to basically pour out an abundance of blessing in your life. I think Jesus might say to us, so quit trying to fix yourself. Quit trying to prove yourself. Just rest in my love and let me transform you from the inside out. I came to tell somebody here today who needs to hear this is that Jesus is still in the business of breaking open an abundance of blessing, even at moments when we feel completely empty. And I want you to know that it's not up to us to change or to get our life together. Jesus invites us to seek him, and he will do that through us. And so we get to the beach. They swim to the beach, iPhones out of the pocket. They get to the beach, and they're around the fire, and Jesus has this breakfast for them. And it was almost like Jesus was setting this whole scene up just for Peter in the way God sets things up for us. It's almost like he set up this meeting to feed Peter's soul. And he's saying to Peter, and he's saying to us essentially this, I want you to know that there's still room here for you. And in fact, I want you to know that I've set up this place around the campfire, this table of grace for you. And it's one of those things where there's this tension that's still going on. In fact, have you ever been in a situation where maybe there's just this tension in the room? This conversation that's happened or hasn't happened, and there is this tension that has not, you know, everybody knows it's there, they know it, you know it, and you could just kind of cut it with a knife. That's what's going on. There is this tension because Peter knows what he's done. Jesus knows that it's in his hands and how he handles this. And so this elephant in the room is there. And so just imagine Peter's eating this breakfast, and it was probably the most awkward breakfast he's ever had in his life as he's looking at Jesus like, so am I still in? You know, he didn't know. And so Peter didn't want to bring it up. And so Jesus starts the conversation. And this conversation, the important one that happens around the campfire, here's what it says, verse 15. It says this, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, some people think he's talking about, like, do you love me more? Do you think you love me more than everybody else here? Like, Peter used to have this pompous attitude about, like, I love you more. I love you, Jesus, more than all you guys, you know? Before the cross. But I think he was asking a little bit different question. I almost think Jesus was looking at this reel. He was looking at his tackle box. He maybe even pulled it up and said, Jesus, do you love me more than this? Not more than fishing, but do you love me more than the old life you used to have? I mean, are you willing to follow me into what I have for you next? I mean, it's almost like I was talking to Tyler Gardner this past week about this message, and he said, you know, it's so funny. He said, you know, oftentimes familiar pain is sometimes more comfortable than unfamiliar love. And let me say that again. Familiar pain is often more comfortable than unfamiliar love. In fact, it's often easier to crawl back to those places of pain in our lives when God's love is ready to fill us. And I imagine that Jesus might be asking you this question this morning. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the life that you lived before? Are you willing to follow me into what I have next? And so here's how the story continues. Verse 15, it says this. It won't burn. Yes, Lord, he said. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Asked him a second time. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. Important statement. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And in this moment, the reason Peter was so torn up about this question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because I think he almost was like replaying his story of all the times he denied Jesus. Three times, Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? And it's almost like that with every question, Jesus is covering up his denial with an invitation of love. And Peter's heart began to break when he started to see the extent of God's love for him. That no matter how far he was, no matter how much he turned away, Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you to love me again and to follow me again. And so when he says, feed my sheep and feed my lambs, that's not, you got to earn it. Like, go out there and prove that you love me. Go love people and we'll see if you really love me. That's not what he's saying. It's really an invitation to go back to the calling that Jesus first had on him. Like he's basically saying, I'm inviting you to follow me again, and I'm sending you out, even after everything that's happened, I'm sending you out again to do what I've called you to do. God's not finished working with you yet. In fact, the truth is, when we've messed up or drifted or fallen short in some kind of way, we all have one of two options of how we respond. The first option we have is we could do what Peter did at first. We can pull away from Jesus. This is what sometimes people do when they go through difficult times. They pull away from God. And it's one of those things where we can go back to our old life and our old broken places and think, well, you know what? That was a fun ride with you, Jesus, but I guess you're done working in my life. Peter was kind of a control freak. He was always trying to control everything and even trying to control how much God could love him. And so it's one of those things where he had to decide if God could even use him anymore. And he had to let Jesus speak into that. So we could choose to pull away. But the second thing is more important. Here's the second choice we have. It's this. We can choose to surrender. We can surrender to Jesus's ridiculous love and decide to boldly follow Jesus again. See, the truth is God hasn't stopped running after you and loving you, and he wants to use you. And the statement where he says, Lord, he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, Lord, you know all things. I think this is the statement. This is a voice of surrender. This is what God wants us to be in our lives, where we say, God, you know all things. Like if you're telling me that I can come back, if you're saying that you're not done with me, then Lord, have your way in my life. And I think that's what God would have us pray. Lord, have your way. And as we follow Jesus again, as we love Jesus back again, as we will see him work through our lives again and transform us from the inside out again and again. Let me pray. Thank you, God, for this amazing message of the love that you have for Peter, but the love most importantly that you have for us. And God, I just want to pray for that person in here today who's maybe experienced times or maybe in a season where they're still trying to earn it, still trying to earn your love by performance. Maybe on the one hand, God, maybe we look at our past and there's somebody in here that says, I guess I'm canceled out. I guess I just get kind of halfway of what your best is, Jesus, or halfway of your love. God, I pray that you would show that person that they are saved by grace through faith. But on the other hand, God, I pray for that person who's trying to earn it and with performance of religious duty, still trying to be good enough and worthy enough in your eyes. God, help us to know that we are wrapped up in your grace. And so God, as we come to this, instead of pulling away from you, we pray that our prayer would be, Lord, have your way. Lord, we surrender our lives. Lord, have your way in us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.